Welcome to Right to Life in Michigan's Life Beat. I am your host today, Chris Gast. Joining us is Anna Plymert and Grace Hemeke. Ladies.
Hello. Hello. Happy Friday. It's Friday.
Woo! We're totally lying to you because it is in fact Tuesday. So if you're listening to this and the banks have collapsed and people are in the streets with signs that say repent, the end is near, then kudos to you for still being committed enough to listening to our podcast. And it's good that you're with us here at the end of all things, Sam, or whoever.
Dedicated people.
Yes. Okay, well, today we're going to talk about a diverse range of topics, to put it lightly. Next week, on the 21st, is World Trisomy Day, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Jane Fonda. And for you young folks, she used to be an actress. I guess she still is. I don't know. She wasn't acting with her comments on The View, which we'll talk about in a minute. But first, you know, we mentioned it briefly in our feature last week about the shenanigans of our Michigan legislature. But let's talk about those in more detail as the House and the Senate vote to repeal our 1931 abortion law, 1846
those
abortion
shenanigans.
Law. Well,
it's a
light
way of putting it.
So, some of you listening might be thinking, "Well, didn't Proposal 3 get rid of that law?" And the answer is no. Laws don't automatically, as the other side was so fond of saying during the election, that laws don't automatically get repealed by constitutional amendments. But of course, Proposal 3 would have made it essentially difficult to impossible to enforce in any circumstance. However, as we were pointing out to the legislature and as people needed to be aware, now during Proposal 3, we were promised up and down, you know, cross their heart and hope to die, stick a needle in their eye, that this was only about restoring Roe and had nothing to do with late-term abortions. Well, in Michigan, even after Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton were passed, our law was still in effect in certain cases, particularly late-term abortions, where we could prove that there was no actual health reason for it and it was just a purely elective abortion. Of course, health, you know, means almost anything. Basically, you have to catch the abortionist in a bald-faced lie, which is difficult, but we've done it before. In 2001, we penalized an abortionist because we were able to prove that they were lying and falsifying medical information. So by taking away our 1931 law, however, when the governor signs this, which I'm sure Governor Gretchen Whitmer will, and have a big party and live stream it, you know, on CNN and talk mm-hmm. about how this is the greatest economic policy for Michigan since we fixed the roads. I guess that didn't happen.
We didn't
never
do
mind.
That. Yeah.
Okay. You know, anyway, we won't go there.
Moving on.
Without the 1931 law in place, there is no regulation of late-term abortions. As they said, again, during the campaign, they promised you voters that Proposal 3 allows reasonable regulations of late-term abortions. Well, now they're getting rid of the only law that does that, and they are not replacing it with anything. So if you want to have an abortion at 39 weeks for absolutely any reason in Michigan, there's not even a hint of it being perhaps illegal. Totally legal. You can totally do it as soon as the governor signs that bill, repealing our 1931 law. So
now, how many legislators tried to add an amendment that would prevent late-term abortions?
Well, in the House and Senate committees that heard it, all of them tried to add amendments. Actually, on both sides, they had a different range of amendments that they tried to add to it to point out how they were basically lying through the Proposal 3 campaign, and every single one of these amendments were completely shot down on party line votes, including banning late-term abortion and banning abortion of children with Down syndrome just because they have Down syndrome, which we'll talk about.
And I think they include a parental consent, right?
Yep, both chambers, they think there were amendments for parental consent, and they shot that down. Mm-hmm. I mean, they know. They know Proposal 3 just gets rid of everything. They don't want to come out and say it.
They kind of did say it.
With their votes, but the right. media isn't going to tell
they
you.
They didn't even focus on the amendments. They didn't mention them at all.
No, not really. Most of the media was, and a range of Republican amendments were shot down on party line right. votes. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and they won't tell you that now there's nothing regulating, you know, as soon as the governor signs it, there's nothing regulating late-term abortions in Michigan. The media is not interested in informing you of what's going on. They are interested in telling you what you need to think.
And then all of a sudden people are going to be like, wait, how did that happen? And they're going to be confused because
well, if they find out about it, because, you know, the media isn't out there, you know, talking about all the late-term abortions that might be happening.
I mean, they're going to have to find – the only way for them to find out about it is if it happens personally to someone and then they
– goes terribly wrong.
And then they blow it up somehow, meaning like
– meaning we talk about
everyone
it.
Everyone knows about it somehow.
Then they can't ignore it.
Right.
Doesn't Planned Parenthood say late-term abortions don't exist?
Yes.
Yeah. You'll get – so the usual progression of arguments from people is, well, late-term abortions don't exist. And then when you point out to them, yes, they do exist. Here's statistics from the CDC on it. And they'll be like, oh, well, those are all, you know, you're making out to be something it isn't. Those are all for, you know, there's something wrong with the women or the children. And then you show them a study from, you know, the pro-abortion Guttmacher Institute that says, well, most abortions after 20 weeks have nothing to do with any health reason for the mom or the child, and then they will just pretend that study doesn't exist and ignore you.
Right.
Because, now that's an interesting thought. I mean, they've heard in the media for so long, they've heard this line from Planned Parenthood others that either late-term abortions aren't a thing, or if they are, it's only in these weird situations. Like, they're not emotionally able to accept that, you know, there's still a part of them that rebels against the idea that a woman at, say, 22 weeks just is going to walk in and wants an abortion, which is actually much more common after 20 weeks than a woman having a health issue or an issue with a child. According to, again, researchers for the other side who had to frankly admit that and be like, yeah, we don't have a lot of data on that because they don't want to study it because they don't want to publish it, but yeah.
I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I probably shouldn't do that.
How are you going to give him the benefit of the doubt?
Maybe they really do think that they don't happen.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, but when you show them evidence that, yeah, it is happening and, you know, there are women who do that, they can't accept it emotionally.
Put it into your perspective. You have a bunch of pro-abortion people showing you this study. And we know that their studies are bogus, right? They show us their study. Are you going to believe it?
Well, I'm going to look at the study. They're not always wrong.
Maybe they think that, though, about pro-life. I guess it doesn't really apply in that situation because it was from a pro-abortion study.
Maybe.
But
I mean,
it doesn't fit their narrative.
Well, I know. A lot of people on both sides, on our side, have narratives, too.
Right.
I'll give you a perfect example. So the other side used to say 1 in 4 women, you know, in America have had an abortion. And, you know, people on our side would be like, that's not true. That's not true. But one time I did look at the numbers. And it's like, well, if there's this many abortions, you know, and this many births and this many women of reproductive age, you know, that number isn't far off from the truth. I mean, now that abortions decreased, it's not that. 1 in 4 or 1 in 5. But, I mean, their overall point that a huge chunk of people in America have experienced in some way or been responsible for an abortion is true.
Mm-hmm. We kind of stopped arguing that, didn't we?
The other side stopped making that argument a while ago. They haven't used that talking point in a while. So I don't know why they have, but, you know,
yeah,
they've moved on. But, you know, sometimes there's uncomfortable things for us, and, you know, we just have to deal with them. like one of the most uncomfortable truths for the pro-life movement is a majority of women who have abortions already have children. So they've already experienced birth, they've already had an ultrasound and experienced that and whatever.
I do get a lot of emails from people saying if women could just see their ultrasound, they would change their mind. But that's
true for a lot of women, especially younger women who have never experienced the ultrasound. That is very true, that there's a very high percentage chance they do that and they won't. But, you know,
not for the
for majority. If a majority of abortions, the woman's already experienced an ultrasound and childbirth and has a child and gone through that, you know, those are not easy women to just show an ultrasound and get them to change their mind. So,
but that's probably because they have a kid already.
Yeah, that plays into it. Most of those, you know, it'd be interesting to get finer data on like specific categories of women. Like, okay, all these women who are already parents having abortions, like what's their demographic situation? Where are they? How old are they?
I mean, I'm sure there's some that say, oh, I only want one kid. Maybe there's a few that say that, but I find it hard to believe that a majority of them are saying, oh, well, I only ever plan on having one kid, so.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get too far out on a limb here, but I'd say a lot of it is it's by a different father and they're already in a bad situation and.
Right, and they don't want. They feel like if they had another kid, it would make their
right. Kids so they're not. That they're necessarily have. Opposed. Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah, they're not necessarily opposed to having two kids. It's just, yeah.
They feel like they would be making the kid they already have their life harder.
Sure, and our culture teaches you can leave people behind, the young, the disabled, the elderly, if it's going to impact on your current life. So
right,
not good. Well, let's shift gears a little bit, but just to finish up, we're not sure when the governor is going to, when it's all going to get done, but we will let you know when it is happening. So moving on to Jane Fonda was on my favorite TV show, The View, last week, and they were, as they tend to do, carping about pro-life laws. I think it was Joy Behar posed to Jane Fonda, who is, I don't know how old, is she 80? Is she 83? 87? She's up there. I mean, she was a well-known actress in the 60s, 70s. Asked her, what are you going to do about all these, you know, Republicans and pro-life states and stuff, and what do you do? And
well, that's not exactly what she asked.
Well, okay, what did exactly she ask?
Well, they were talking about what can you do to fight against,
right,
you know, pro-life people. And they were saying, like, you can protest and you can what else did they say? Like, go to the place and not riot, but like protest and was the other thing anyway? And then you continue on there.
And then Jane Fonda's response was murder.
Right.
Murder. You know. Just like that Mad TV sketch, Lowered Expectations, you know, murder. And then there was an uncomfortable look on everyone's, you know, face in the table for a moment. And then Joy Behar comes back and is like, well, you're just joking because, you know, they're going to pick that up and run with it. And then Jane Fonda clearly was not joking. And and so Jane Fonda's preferred solution to the abortion debate is murder pro-lifers.
Mm-hmm.
Totally sane.
Yeah.
Totally normal.
Yeah.
Consistent.
Here's a question. Does Joy Behar really disagree with her?
She has to.
Why? I mean, look at the attacks on the pregnancy centers and how they're not. I mean, they don't care. They support it. How far are they willing to go?
I don't know that they support killing the people that work at pregnancy resource centers.
I don't know. Do they?
Well, they haven't.
There've been threats to do it. When it happens,
but they haven't.
When it happens, are they going to denounce it? Did they want it to happen? I mean, if they really were concerned about it and the threats, you think they would kind of step in to cool their side off, and they're not. And if anything, they're encouraging it, basically telling them, do it at dark and we won't go after you. Our beloved United States Attorney General, Merrick Garland.
I don't know.
They're already...
I would like to think that they're better people than that.
They don't care about human life. Right. And they're not going to pursue injustices done to pro-life groups.
I mean, most people who in America who consider themselves pro-choice, you know, would not do that. But I wonder if you actually had people answer a survey, particularly the leaders, where they could anonymously express their true views on the topic, how many would actually say, no, we can't do that? I mean, if a pro-lifer does something bad, we go out of our way. We have, like, an autoimmune disease. Like, we go out of our way to denounce it, say that's not us.
Right.
You know, as a pro-life movement. You know, when something happens the other way, like, you know, when James Pouillon in Michigan, a pro-life protester, was murdered by a pro-choicer, I mean, the other side doesn't really have the same reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that about our volunteer that...
Oh, yeah. There are people who said that she deserved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely people. In social media influencers paid by our dear pro-abortion friends in the legislature. Yeah, she deserved it. Getting, you know, shot and almost murdered by an angry pro-choice person who marinated all day on cable news and social media hate. All day. Every day. Encouraged by the president going, you know, up in front of a building bathed in red like a Nuremberg-style rally, banging his fists in the air.
Well,
so did Jane Fonda just say the quiet part out loud? Is that
well, yeah. All this? I mean, yeah, she wasn't... Well, was Jane Fonda really, was she saying it just to be edgy, or do you think that, I think she'd really support it.
I think she would, too.
Given her history, I mean, we're not going to get into the whole Vietnam War and stuff, but, you know, given her personal history, I don't see why we should not take her at face value and believe what she said.
Oh, because she was just joking, don't you know?
So what happens? Does The View have to, like, you know, go through re-education, how not to murder their fellow Americans? Or does Jane Fonda get canceled?
No, because it's only the pro-life people that are worried about it or upset about it. And pro-abortion people aren't going to care that she said that. And... pro-abortion people are the people that are watching The View anyway.
Well, there's got to be at least one of us has to have the duty of watching, otherwise we never see their clips. So, whoever that brave pro-life person forced to watch The View is, Godspeed.
They don't care what pro-life people are upset about. They're not going to do
no,
a
they
bunch
don't.
Of trainings to...
They don't.
They're probably like, oh my gosh, Jane, I can't believe you said that on TV. Ha 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 ha. And that was it.
I like how you've talked yourself down to, I'd like to think that they're better people too.
Well, I don't know about the other hosts is what I'm saying.
Oh. Yeah,
and if
I don't
they
know.
Would go through with it, they might be like, yeah. Because they want to.
Well, I don't think they're going to murder pro-life people. I doubt the hostesses of The View are going to do such a thing. But it's
would they support
you know, it's really easy to support other people doing bad things if you don't have to get your hands dirty. So, just another depressing example of the state of American culture. Do we have anything more we want to say on that before we get to a
moving on
a better note with better people? Okay. So on Tuesday, I think. Dates are not my strong suit, but that would be March 21st, and that is World Trisomy Day, so it's a day to celebrate people who have or living with Down syndrome. It's called trisomy 21, because the 21st chromosome, there's three copies instead of two. And so that's why 3-2-1 is World Trisomy Day. And, you know, we have a nice collection of stories at Rights Life of Michigan, you know, just personal stories that we're going to be sharing. Sadly, you know, our experience with disability and abortion is that, you know, the worst case scenarios are the ones that are talked about, and not the actual lived experiences of people. And there are lots of people living with Down syndrome, and they have as much human value as we do. That's sadly not how society operates. You know, we see other countries almost bragging that they're eliminating people with Down syndrome from society, instead filling it full of Jane Fondas. Talk about a lesser trade. But that's where we are. And perhaps kind of for me and the issue, the most interesting thing a couple years ago is when I saw in a Gallup poll that actually a majority of people would, even in the first trimester, if we could tell in the first trimester a child had Down syndrome, does not think it should be legal to have an abortion just because the child has Down syndrome. And I think that is real progress.
Well, I mean, majority of people probably know of someone personally that has Down syndrome, or someone they know someone that has Down syndrome. So they can, it's closer to them. They can relate to it more, mm-hmm. I think.
That's true. Versus some of your other kind of more rare disabilities where support for abortion in those cases, you know, would still be in the 60s or even 70s. But I mean, that's encouraging. And I think, you know, a big thing, we haven't had that poll like say 10 or 20 years ago, so we can't really compare numbers, how it's changed, but I would imagine that's changed. And I have to say that's because of, you know, a lot of work that people have put into on this topic for things like World Down Syndrome Day and Down Syndrome Awareness Month, and just, you know, the exposure of them in broader culture. You know, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I do want to see Peanut Butter Falcon. Anyone seen that movie here? No? Oh, okay. I still want to see that movie, where they can be, you know, business owners and actors and actresses and athletes and do all these things and still live normal lives, for lack of a better term. I don't know if there's such thing as a normal life anymore.
That's true.
In this crazy world, but
I do think it's still worth mentioning that we still have a long way to go, especially in other countries where they basically don't have any Down syndrome, people with Down syndrome. So, and the U.S. actually is pretty high up, and it's high up there with other countries, I guess is a way to say that.
You mean we have a high population of people with Down syndrome?
The rate of which people with Down syndrome are aborted pretty high.
Yeah, so I mean, we should point out that that result in the Gallup poll was like 51%. So we're talking like split pretty evenly, half and half. So that means half of people in America think that if you get a diagnosis of Down syndrome, absolutely have an abortion. If you want it, they would say. You know, even though we pressure women and men, you know, in these situations with a diagnosis of disability to get an
abortion. Even though sometimes those diagnoses are not correct.
That's true. They're not correct. But yeah, the percentage I've seen anywhere from 60 to 90% mm-hmm. of children diagnosed with Down syndrome in America are aborted. And that's very similar to other disabilities. Because, you know, we've come to believe that, you know, the only life worth living is the privileged life. And as we can see, we talked about in the podcast the last couple of weeks, even the privileged life is just not seen as worth living overall.
Mm, People can say that that's why they have an abortion when they find out that their baby has Down syndrome. They can say it's because they don't want their child to suffer, but I find it hard to believe that it's not because they don't want to have a hard life and to have an inconvenient life
for parents. I mean, I think that's certainly a factor in it. I wouldn't disagree with that.
But they're going to blame it on they don't want their child to have a hard life.
Well, if you can reframe it from selfish to merciful, that's always nice to justify to yourself.
I mean, that is the basic motivation of an abortion is, yes, there's all these bad circumstances surrounding it, but at the end, it's just you just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal. And which is not a great attitude for pretty much everyone in life, because everyone listening to this is going to, if they haven't already, they're going to have a chronic health condition or be in a bad situation or someone's going to have to take, I mean, that's the common human experience, or at least used to be, is that people take care of other people. Mm-hmm. And that's how it should be. But now it's can't be bothered. It seems to be the common thread of existence in modern society. I can't be bothered to do this.
If I can help it, then I'm not going to be bothered.
Right.
Yeah.
So on Tuesday, we would encourage you, we're going to be sharing, you know, some of these positive stories. And, you know, we should point out that, of course, having a disability or living with a family member has a disability is not always a positive experience, as I can attest to personally. But, you know, it doesn't mean that humans have any less value. So follow us. We'll be sharing the stories throughout the day. And you will feel encouraged, and it's just a simple opportunity you can take to help spread a positive message and change people's perceptions. All right. Anything else, ladies, before we log off on Tuesday? Very awkward.
Happy Friday.
Tuesday. Happy Friday. Have a wonderful weekend, plus also the rest of your week.
And happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Friday is St. Patrick's Day.
It is.
Yeah. We didn't say that.
Should we?
I just did say
there's
it.
A pro-life,
we have now.
There's a pro-life angle to it.
Is there?
There is a pro-life angle to it, as Grace contemplates and wants to disagree. You know what it is?
Fill me in. What are you thinking?
So St. Patrick's was enslaved in Ireland by people who did not think that he had the same human value that they did. So, you know, abused him, basically said that we own you. He escaped. And then what did he do? Did he, you know, get rid of them? Did he convince the Romans to go crush the Irish? Did he just forget about them? No, he went back to try to get them all to change their view on the topic of slavery, and obviously
he converted them all to Christianity.
And more of obviously a religious focus through that. But, you know, he did not give up on the wayward people of Ireland who even thought that he did not deserve to live. So that's the pro-life angle. Everyone should be
perfect.
St. Patrick's for all of the people that they know who aren't pro-life. You know, never give up on them. You never know when you have an opportunity to go back. And there you go. I won't try an Irish accent. So
good idea.
All right. So catch us again next week. Enjoy the rest of your week, weekend, and St. Paddy's Day.